Hey, he's down in Arizona just for a short time. He flies all over the country. Anytime there's a baseball event, he's there, and that is a senior writer for the Major League Baseball, MLB.com. Barry Bloom, how you doing today?
Hey, Marty, how are you?
You're doing well. And, hey, how about the Cardinals today beating the Dodgers right now? It's the middle of the fourth inning, but Cardinals 4, Dodgers 1. And Matt Adams, homer number 12. How do you like that race? Dodgers, Giants, Cardinals, this National League Central. How do you like this thing?
Well, the Cardinals obviously are making their push, which they always do. And Milwaukee limped into the All-Star break. So they're in a situation now where they're capable of going to the playoffs, winning the division again. And we'll just see as the thing goes on. And I think the Giants and Dodgers, unless I miss my guess, they're going to go all the way down to the wire with, head-to-head competition, with one of them winning and maybe one of them winning the wild card. We'll see what happens.
Well, it's going to be wild. Hey, you're in the All-Star game this week. As I say, you have probably the best job in baseball. Anytime there's a baseball moment, you're there. Your general feelings about the game within baseball itself. Selig addresses the Baseball Writers Association during this the week there. The Jeter moments, not doing anything for Tony Gwynn. Bring us up to date on your thoughts about the whole time at the All-Star game.
Well, you know, on the Tony Gwynn moment, you know, I thought that the or the Tony Gwynn thing, I just thought that the statement that was co-released by Fox and Major League Baseball was spot on. I mean, I don't know about the broadcast. You could have spent a couple of minutes on the broadcast talking about him. But in the stadium, really, this was all about celebrating Jeter and celebrating baseball. And so many great baseball players from different generations have died this year when you go through, you know, Kiner and Coleman and Zimmer, and you know, the list is pretty long. And so, you know, you don't want to really shortchange the other guys by spotlighting Tony, even though Tony was so recently. Frank Cashin recently died. I mean, they do this at the Hall of Fame every year during the induction ceremony. They do an in memoriam, and I think they'll probably spend a lot of time on Tony as being a recent Hall of Famer passing away up there. And I think that's more apropos for that. As far as the rest of it goes, I mean, it's obvious that baseball is in now a period of major transition. I mean, you're watching it on the field with the Jeter, all the stuff around him as time is going on here and the season is starting to ebb and flow down to the end. He's going to be gone, and then who's going to be the standard bearer to carry the torch for baseball, no less than in New York, but nationally as well. I mean, they don't really even have a standard bearer in New York. You would think if David Wright were in a different place in his career, he might be the guy. But I just don't think with his numbers right now, where he is in that ballpark and that franchise, he's really up to it. And nationally, you know, you got to look at the Trouts and guys like that, but they have a long way to go in their careers to get to the point. I mean, Jeter was not the standard bearer of baseball in the 1990s when the Yankees were winning world championships. He was just one member of a great team that had multiples in different positions that were like Jeter. So, I mean, and that's kind of where Trout is right now, so this has to really play itself out. And there really is nobody in the 10 to 20-year class at this point, let alone who I would pick to be the standard bearer for baseball, as, you know, who's a dead bang for the Hall of Fame. We've talked about this. I can only think of two or three guys right now who might be dead bangs for the Hall of Fame if their careers continue from this point on to the end of their careers, and they played more than 10 years at this point, which gives them eligibility for the Hall of Fame. And then, of course, the commissioner, where the selection process is going on in private and the vetting process is going on in private, and the commissioner insists that come January 25th of next year, he's going to be gone. So the sport is really in, I think, a great deal of transition, which is good. It's fine. It's part of the whole thing that happens every once in a while. You know, change isn't necessarily bad.
All right. Yeah, yeah, I appreciate it. I think there is change coming up. And do you think they'll do anything with the DH? Just to go in another tangent here, you know, a new commissioner comes in. DH is everywhere except the National League. We have arguments back and forth about the fairness of it in World Series and all that interleague. You think anything could come of the DH?
Well, I think the first thing is it has to be memorialized for the World Series. Both teams have to be able to use it in the World Series for all games because it puts the National League team really behind the eight ball in games, you know, at the in the National League parks where, you know, they can't use a DH. And, you know, you run into that during the regular season doing interleague play, but when each of these games means so much in the World Series, like they've now done with the All-Star game, you know, where they've eliminated it and you just play the DH, great. I mean, I've said this for a long time, and I've written columns about this. You're looking about two leagues in the entire world right now, the Central League in Japan and the National League, utilize the pitcher to hit. It's outmoded. The train has left the station. College baseball, minor leagues, all this stuff is not going back. You know, every other country that gets involved, plays in the WBC at this point, they're all using the DH. Pitchers are growing up, and unless they're position players at pitch, they get out of even high school ball and they don't pitch. So why are we subjecting them to hitting the major leagues? It leads to injuries. It leads to a paucity of play. I think the, you know, the bunting and losing outs, those things are outmoded. You know, I've come 180 degrees on that over the course of time. Even at 62 years old and as a traditionalist, I hate the bunt. It's a waste of an out. There are only, you know, three statistics in baseball that matter. Outs, runs, and how many ways you're going to be able to use those outs to score and win a game. So that's it. And all the other things are superfluous. So if you give up an out and in a situation and you're now down to two outs to score a run rather than three, what are you doing? There's a plenty of ways of moving runners around without having to give out an out. So I'm a big proponent of the DH. I think it's there as you have the owners in the National League have basically, you know, kind of like ran their way out. I mean, you know, you don't have a lot of the old-time owners in the National League anymore who were stuck on this thing. It's a collectively bargained issue. And if I were the union, I'd come in and I'd demand it because at $3.2 million average salary, it's a $3.2 million job instead of in the National League where you're carrying a 24th to 25th guy or you're paying the minimum. So from their point of view, I'd want to collectively bargain it in. And I think it puts the National League on a stronger footing with the American League. To me, the National League cannot keep players over the long term. And, you know, you get Pujols, Brian McCann. We can go down the list. They're all going to go to the American League over the course of time because you can DH them at the back end of their long-term contracts. And that skews the balance between the two leagues.
What?
Once, you know, the National League takes it, players are going to stay in the National League.
Boy, interesting. All right, great viewpoint. I hadn't thought about that, the collective bargaining part of it, and that may answer a question. All right, very, very interesting. Barry Bloom, MLB.com. Hey, you head from home in Arizona to Cooperstown next week. This should be, you know, six people going in. Then you got to go back to sometime around 1970, I think was the last time they had that big a class. This should be some weekend coming up.
Right. And, you know, we were just all on, five of the six of them were on conference calls yesterday. You know, I wrote a column about it. They, I think they expect huge crowds there, especially with Torrey drawing from New York. You know, they were talking about 50,000 people.
Wow.
And I think it may be more like 100,000 when you get people who come up to take day trips.
It's going to be Woodstock. And, you know, it's going to be Woodstock all over again.
Right. And then, interestingly enough, that you mention it, they have the 75th anniversary concert on the same meadow a week later on Saturday night, August 2nd, with Paul Simon and a number of other Busted Pops. They're going to play, and people can come and sit on the meadow a la Woodstock and watch the concert.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it really could be people. I can't imagine – what that town is going to be like, because it just doesn't have the facilities to support that many people.
Why, fun. Yeah, I've been there twice, and I know you've been there a lot, so it should be interesting. Hey, one last thought for Barry Bloom, MLB.com. You know, this is the time of year, you know, teams stay in it. They don't stay in. There's a lot of people that are really together in this second wild card thing. Everyone's in it. You think that David Price goes and Zobrist goes, and we see a lot of action here over the next 10 days?
Well, I think Price, having talked to him at the All-Star game, he seemed pretty set on the fact that, and resigned to the fact that he was going to go. You know, where he winds up, it just depends on, you know, the package of prospects that the Rays can get, because, you know, that's their retundandra, you know, where, you know, they don't grow their minor league system that well from their own draft picks, but they do very well trading off parts of their team for other people's prospects and cycle them through. And that's what's kept the Rays fresh over the last 6 or 7 years. So, yeah, I mean, part of it is that, you know, they're 8, 9 games out. I think they're 8 now going into play today. You know, that whole division is pretty well bunched up. And, you know, they're going to have to at some point make a decision of whether or not they want Price back next year, because they're going to have to pay him through arbitration. He's $14 million now. So if they keep him for another year and sign him, that's going to go up probably to $20 million. And I don't think they can afford to carry that contract under the situation they're in right now. So, but, yeah, I do expect Price in the next 10 days to go.
Wow. All right. Terrific. Hey, nice to have you on. But I said I'd like your job. You got to go to all the good things of baseball. So I appreciate you being on. And when do you head to Cooperstown?
On Wednesday. But you know what? We all think the grass is greener on the other side. I think I'd like to have your job, too. You're in the Bay Area, and you're watching, you know, two great teams playing, especially the Giants, every day. And, you know, we were talking about this, I think you and I, a little bit privately. To me, the Dodger-Giants, the difference of the Dodger-Giants is I think the Dodgers may have a tad better pitching right now. But I think their offense is spotty. Their fielding is weak. They are not well managed. And I think the Giants have them all over those areas. And I think Boach will find a way over the course of the crunch time that you were talking about earlier with your previous caller to find a few ways to win games. And Mattingly may find a way to lose a few games. And I've already watched him do it. You know, the Dodgers don't play with the consistency that they should necessarily play with, and the Giants have won. I mean, they've got a core of players there who won the World Series 2 out of the last 4 years. You know, being there and having done that, I think means so much when you get to this point of the season.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I say you grind it out now, back against the wall kind of baseball. Barry, thanks so much for taking the time, and hey, maybe we'll talk to you next weekend if you have any time. I know we've done it before from Cooperstown, so we'd love to have you on. Plus, it's Dodgers-Giants next weekend as well, so it'd be fun to have you on.
I'd love to stay and say, have your people talk to my people.
Yeah, certainly. We'll call you when you're on the coast the next time. All right. Thanks,
all
Barry.
Right.
All right. This is Barry Bloom, MLB.com. My people will call his people, and we'll do that.